And for the record, this will be the open board meeting Thursday afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, could you please take your seats? We're about to begin. Thank you.
Can I ask for members of the new GTLD committee to join the meeting, please?
If the GTLD committee members could please come and take their seats.
Попрошу членов комитета по новому GTLD сесть и занять места. Зрители тоже, пожалуйста, займите свои места.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Дамы и господа, просим занять места. Будем вам очень признательны, если вы займете места, чтобы можно было начать. Я бы хотел попросить всех членов комитета по новым GTLD занять места.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. We'd like to start the board meeting immediately. Please take your seats. Thank you. Would the GTLD people please be seated at Chris Disbain's direction, please?
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to the new GTLD committee meeting. I would like to begin the meeting by taking a roll call of all of those sitting around the table. Could we start with Heather, please?
Good afternoon. Heather Dryden.
Thomas Norton.
Mike Silva.
George Sadowski.
Olga Madruga, 14.
Judith Vasquez.
Fadi Shehadi.
Chris Despain.
Shireen Chalabi.
Ray Polzak.
Goy Wu.
Francisco Silva.
Bill Graham.
Gonzalo Navarro.
Erika Mann.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. This is our first public new GTLD committee meeting. The agenda consists of two parts. First, we'd like to pass a resolution on the minutes of 1st and 2nd of February meetings. Then we will have a section where we will give an update and a statement on four topics. The new GTLD program readiness, IGO protection issues, closed generics, and then new GTLD agreements. I will start with asking for someone to propose the resolution for approving the minutes. I see that Ray Polsak has proposed. Who would like to second? George Sadowski, second. Given this is consent agenda, we will not have a discussion. I will now ask all of those four, please raise your hand. Anyone against? Any abstention? Thank you. Motion passed. We will move to the next session of the meeting, which is the four topics. We have prepared a statement for the first three. I will give the statement on program readiness. Chris Despain will give the statement on IGO protection issues, and Olga will give a statement on closed generics. Fadi will give a final statement on new GTLD agreements. I know he spoke a lot today, but he would like to have just one final word about that. So I will start with my statement. And is that statement going to be projected? While it's being... It is here? Okay. So, the new GTLD program committee performs oversight of the readiness of the new GTLD program. In that regard, the committee met twice in Beijing with the ICANN CEO and his management team. The committee is satisfied with progress to date and is fully supportive of the CEO and his management team. The committee and the CEO agreed upon the following 5 points. First, whilst the new GTLD program committee understands the importance of certainty, it has agreed with the CEO that there should be no artificially fixed deadlines. Therefore, progress will continue without undue delays, but the timing and the rate of each step in the program will proceed in a controlled and measured manner. Second, the security, stability, and resilience of the root server system is paramount and will not be jeopardized. Three, the known risks to the program have been and will continue to be mitigated. Four, ICANN staff is and will continue to be prepared to act swiftly if or when anticipated problems occur. Five, the ICANN community will be given time to comment on the RAA and RAA agreements consistent with ICANN's multi-stakeholder model and commitment to accountability and transparency. Thank you. Now we move to the next topic on the agenda, and that is IGO protection issues. Chris Despay.
Thank you. Thank you, Shireen. Now, I don't have anything typed. What I wanted to do was to read into the record what I said to the GAC at our joint GAC board meeting a few days ago, and then just make a short comment on the GAC advice. So what I said to the GAC is as follows. I said that there are some misunderstandings flying around. The first one is that the misunderstanding that the board has protected the acronym IOC, that is not correct. The board has not protected that. There's also an understanding that the resolution on IGOs that we made on the 26th of November already says that we will protect names and acronyms, and that is not correct. And I read the relevant part of the resolution to the GAC. In respect to the GAC's advice, the advice in respect to names is problematic because of the square brackets around the number of languages the protection would be given in, and the lack of any information as to a review process. In respect to the advice on acronyms, this is extremely problematic. There are a number of reasons set out in our letter to the GAC, which followed their advice. There has been discussion about reserving the acronyms, but allowing the relevant IGO to give consent to a registration in a TLD. From a principal point of view, this would mean, as an example, that the Church of England would require the approval of the Council of Europe to register coe.church. I think the other examples I used were that the Canadian government would require the consent of the Andean community to register CAN dot something, and the International Standards Organization, an organization with which ICANN has a fairly close understanding, would require the consent of the International Sugar Organization in order to register ISO dot something. Even if, in principle, this is what the GAC intended by their advice, from an implementation point of view, this is extremely problematic. Questions include who at each IGO would give consent, how long would an IGO have to give consent, would no reply equal consent, what criteria would be used for consent, who would draft those criteria, would the criteria for consent be the same for each IGO, or would consent be given at the whim of each IGO? And so there then follows a paragraph that sets out the board's position. The board believes that all of these issues may make it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to accept the GAC's advice as is. Rather than reject the advice, we seek an acknowledgement from the GAC in its communique that there are issues that need to be worked through, and an agreement that the GAC board and staff will work on those issues from now, with a deadline for a formal board resolution in Durban. Now, the GACS advice, the GACS communique arrived a couple of hours ago. I have looked, there is wording in there about the IGOs, and my first reading of it says that seems to say that there's an acknowledgement and that they will work with us. So that's good, and I guess we'll consider the advice over the next little while and then respond to that and decide what the next steps are. So that's where we are with that. Shireen, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. The next topic on the agenda is a statement about closed generics, and Olga Madruga Forti will give that statement. Olga?
Thank you, Shireen, and I hope that you bear with us as we read this statement to you. We do want to be as exacting and up-to-date as possible. And with that, given community expressions of concern on the topic of exclusive use NGTLDs, formerly, or as some refer to them, closed generics, on February 2, 2013, the committee passed a resolution requesting the CEO and staff to open a public comment forum on exclusive use NGTLD applications. In the course of those deliberations, the committee noted that the expressions of concern from members of the community raised such issues as exclusive use GTLDs should be reserved only for those strings in which the applicant possesses established intellectual property rights. Generic words belong to all people. Closed generic or exclusive use strings could cause significant consumer and internet user confusion. Exclusive use NGTLDs could have significant impact on competition, consumer choice, and the public interest. On February 5th, 2013, ICANN opened a 30-day public comment period on this topic. Over 260 comments were received. The majority of the comments largely echoed the expressions of concern. The committee also sought GNSO guidance on the issue. And on March 7, 2013, the GNSO Council responded, noting that given the relatively short time frame, it was not possible to provide guidance on the issue with due consideration. Nevertheless, the Council encouraged the GNSO members to share their views through the relevant public comment forum. The committee is now actively considering the public comments received and staff analysis. Today, as Bruce Tonkin referenced earlier, the GAC has published important advice to the board on this topic. The committee will analyze in detail and take into consideration this advice. The committee understands that the advice may raise public policy implications and appreciates very much the GAC work on the matter. The committee anticipates concluding its deliberations on exclusive use NGTLDs before the end of April. However, should a decision still be pending at that time, we will inform and communicate of an indicative timeline. The committee realizes and recognizes the importance of understanding all views and potential ramifications relating to exclusive use NGTLDs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Olga. The next topic is a final comment on the RAA and RAA agreements. And Fadi?
Yeah, I just wanted to share with the board members that we have advanced, as I said before, significantly on the discussions with the contracted parties, both the registries and the registrars. I'm anticipating that we will publish the contracts for the whole community to view next week, as early as possible next week, given that most people are on planes for the weekend, so we'll allow for a few more days, and I ask for your indulgence. But I'm certainly this is something that we want to be agile about and rapid about, so we are moving as fast as we can. Now, once these agreements are published, we will have the 21-day comment period, most likely, and then the reply period as the process should be. On the other side, I am already working with staff, with our team, to figure out how we can speed the operational side. So, for example, instead of waiting for all of this to be finished before we could start pre-delegation testing or some elements of it, or maybe we could add more registries, new GTLD registries or back-end operators in the testing, the kind of the beta testing of the pre-delegation testing. So we're going to look for ways that are agile, that are effective, in order to make sure we don't add to the program another 40, 50 days. I'm committed to that, and I hope the registries appreciate that. On the registrar side, we'll do something similar, because as Michele said, we can't keep pushing this and then still asking them, as we do now, by January 1st, 2014, to have all the implementations done. I mean, take something simple. We're now asking them to verify and validate many new fields that they didn't do before. They need to build systems. They need to build processes. They need to train people to do that. So I'm familiar with that. I've built operations and businesses, and I respect the fact that we cannot keep asking them to do things without allowing them proper time. So I'm asking the board to allow me to work with my team on the operational side to do everything we can properly without compromising or cutting any corners, but making an agile set of processes. And as I said in my opening, agile is the opposite of waterfall. We don't have to wait for something to get done to start the next thing. We can start things in parallel and be smart about it. The registries and registrars are very keen to do that, but without cutting corners on the community's involvement where the community is needed to ensure that these agreements are done. One last word on the agreements, and I think all of us will agree. We will be much prouder of these agreements as a community if we allow the time necessary for everyone's voice to be part of it. We will stand tall when people tell us, you produced contracts that govern this massive new space you're creating, and you did it with full participation of the community. So we're listening. Your input will be taken into consideration, and the registries and registrars understand that. We understand that as your representative, because we are representing the community, not ICANN staff, when we negotiate with these parties. That's our commitment, and it stands.
Thank you, Fadi. And now I'd like to ask my fellow board members, you've heard the statements on the four topics. Would any one of you like to add a comment or respond to Fadi's request that the board should support him in working with his team without cutting corners? Erica.
Actually, I do, Shireen. I think it would be really relevant for us because we are working now on many topics towards our meeting in South Africa. So I wonder if there is not something that you would want to schedule out, probably not tonight, because we will need to have a little bit of time to reflect on it and work with Fadi and the team about timetables. Because that's it looks like it's a long time ahead of us, but in reality we have seen many times that actually the planned schedule is not working out because issues are becoming more complicated and because of many other reasons. So what I would really love to see presented as early as possible, a workable timetable for the various topics where we need to take decisions and that we then can reflect this on in our group and then can post it.
Thank you, Erica. On that issue, just to inform the community, the new GTLD program committee is intending to have a meeting. It will be a telephonic call in the next 2 weeks. And in that meeting, as Olga discussed, we will talk about the GAC advice on all the issues, consider that, and consider our response. And I think after that time, we can issue some form of a timeline.
Any other comments? Erica, you have another comment, please.
Yeah, I do, actually. I would love to get as early as possible from Fadi and his team an analysis, a legal analysis about the GAC advice which we have received, topic by topic, classification by classification, so that we have a ground to work.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Any other business? No? Well, thank you very much. This concludes the new GTLD committee meeting. And we will now resume with the board meeting. It's adjourned.
While we're reassembling here, let me just add a comment on this last point about the detailed, Erica's request for detailed response to each item on the GAC communique. There's been very active work developing a process for doing exactly that. Board GAC working group, development of the register process, development of all of the pieces of that. And so this will give us, everybody involved, the next test of all of this. And so I'm eager to see that process go to work and should be able to watch the pieces of that very cleanly. There's a public so-called GAC registry, and the pieces of the GAC communique should show up, should be able to compare what's in the GAC communique to what's in the register and what that process is. Have I got that correct, Heather? Yes, she says. Good. So we're formally reconvened as the full board. This is a meeting of the ICANN board, and the agenda for the meeting is now put on the screen here for you to see. It consists of a consent agenda with eight. Keep going down. Actually, I, J, K, what happened to J? So 11 items, if I think, plus a main agenda that has a small number of things in it, two particular. Our procedure is that we make an initial assessment of whether or not an item, a resolution, is likely to be quickly agreed to unanimously. We put things on the consent agenda, and we have a rule that anybody, any board member, can ask for something to be removed from the consent agenda, moved to the main agenda without justification. It's just the barrier is very, very low. So here's the agenda as you see it. Bruce will give a quick summary of the several items on the consent agenda, and then we will act on that.
Thank you, Steve. Just running through the agenda items very quickly just to give a summary. Obviously, the first one, item A, is just approval of the board minutes. The second item is approving the bylaws amendment for the Route Server Advisory Committee. That was an outcome of the recent review of the RSAC processes. The third one, C, is the basic resolution that allows the chief executive to set up an office in Istanbul, Turkey. The next one is relating to the accountability structures. So one of the accountability structures we have is basically an independent review process, or IRP. We had an external review of our accountability mechanisms, and one of the outcomes of that review was the setting up of a standing panel for that independent review process. We put that out as a proposed bylaw amendment for public comment, and one of the pieces of feedback was that there should be an ability to add expertise or change expertise on the panel depending on the case being heard. So in this resolution, we're basically approving a change to the bylaws that incorporates establishing a standing panel and having the ability to add expertise to the panel if that's required. We have a request here for the removal of cross-ownership restrictions for the .cat GTLD. The process for that, we have a defined process. Part of that process is a review by ICANN of any competition issues, and it's also been through a public comment period. And based on the outcome of that process, the board is being asked to approve the removal of cross-ownership restrictions for .cat. Agenda item F relates to the redelegation of the .ga domain name representing Gabon. Again, the board's role here is really just overseeing the process, making sure that the IANA function has properly followed the process with respect to reviewing that request, and the board is being asked to approve the change or redelegation of the .ga domain. Item G, Public Participation Committee name. That committee requested to change its name to the Public and Stakeholder Engagement Committee. This aligns it with some of the other terminology used within FADI's management team around stakeholder engagement. The final item here, item H, relates to the SO and AC fast track budget request. This is a process where we can identify some early budget requests from supporting organisations and advisory committees that would be put into effect at the beginning of the financial year, starting, I guess, 1st of July. And so this relates to approving 12 requests representing $279,000. And at that point, I'm finished going through those resolutions.
We have the thank yous to the departing community members. We thank them previously, but it's worth reading their names again. Marilyn Cade and Fernando España, Palos Narenda, thank you, and Rolando Toledo from Peru. Next, a thank you to the sponsors. We have an extended list of sponsors here. I'm going to not read all of them, but sponsors, as we all know, are very important and deserve our thanks. And then scribes, interpreters, staff, event, and hotel teams. This is a big operation. Everyone here knows that. It's not easy to put on an event like this. An awful lot of moving parts and a huge amount of preparation and cooperation. It's a big deal. And then finally, thanks to our local hosts, the CNIC, CONIC, Internet Society of China, ministers in several offices in the government. The cooperation and support is also extremely important, and one does not bring an operation like this into China or any other place without the cooperation and active, knowledgeable support of the local community. It's visible to everybody that we have everybody on the board is here, all 16 voting members and 5 non-voting liaisons. But for the record and for the, in order to keep our general counsel from losing it, I'm going to ask for a quick roll call, starting with you, Ram.
Ram Mohan.
Sorry, just supposed to one. Erica Mann.
Gonzalo Navarro.
Bill Graham.
Francisco de Silva.
Goeu.
Ray Polzak.
Sébastien Bachelet.
Shireen Chalabi.
Krista Spain.
Steve Crocker.
Bruce Tolkien.
Fadi Shehadi.
Judith Vasquez.
Suzanne Wolf.
Olga Madruga, 14.
Bertrand de la Chapelle.
George Sadowski.
Mike Silva.
Thomas Norton.
Heather Dryden.
Thank you. And with that, I ask for consent, approval of the consent agenda. All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Consent agenda is passed. Thank you all. We move now to the individual items on the main agenda. We have a process of asking that each item on the agenda is overseen or shepherded, in our terminology, by a particular board member. I mean, for which one? And now I'm caught around. This year's? And who's the next one?
Want me to go, Steve?
Please introduce and take us through this.
Thank you very much. For a few years now, the ICANN has been focused on work in the IDN area and in engaging with the community in ensuring that IDNs at the top level can get delegated. One of the interesting issues that comes up in this area of IDNs are what are called variants. And in order to ensure that variants get studied properly, ICANN started up a project called the IDN Variant Project and had tasked staff to create a set of specific projects inside of that program. This resolution is about two specific actions that are coming about as a result of work in the IDN variant program. So I'll read the agenda item and the resolution. The IDN variant TLD root LGR procedure and user experience study recommendations. Whereas IDNs have been a board priority for several years to enable internet users to access domain names in their own language, and the board recognizes that IDN variants are an important component for some IDN TLD strings. Whereas the board previously resolved that IDN variant GTLDs and IDN variant CCTLDs will not be delegated until relevant work is completed. Whereas since December 2010, ICANN has been working to find solutions to ensure a secure and stable delegation of IDN variant TLDs, and the IDN variant TLD program benefited from significant community participation in developing the procedure to develop and maintain the label generation rules, or LGR rules, for the root zone in respect of IDNA labels and the report on user experience implications of active variant TLDs. Resolved, the board directs staff to implement the procedure to develop and maintain the label generation rules for the root zone in respect of IDNA labels, including updating the GTLD applicant guidebook and the IDN CCTLD process to incorporate the label generation rules for the root zone in respect of IDNA labels in the respective evaluation processes. Resolved, the board requests that by 1st July 2013, interested supporting organizations and advisory committees provide staff with any input and guidance they may have to be factored into implementation of the recommendations from the report on user experience implications of active variant TLDs.
Thank you very much. Is there any discussion? Ray seconds the motion. Thank you. Any further discussion? Ram?
Thank you, Steve. One of the things that I wanted to point out is that although the language here in the board resolution says that the work has to be done to implement and delegate ID invariant TLDs, it is important to understand that this is a complex topic, and the likely result is that some ID invariant TLDs may eventually get delegated, but some will never be. And so I want to make sure that we understand that this is not a carte blanche that ensures that all ID invariant TLDs will get delegated. There are a specific set of criteria that have to be developed in the LGR procedure. There are also recommendations from the user experience project. But this is not something where simply going through a set of algorithms and having a mechanistic procedure is sufficient to ensure that ID invariant TLDs will get delegated. It is entirely likely that there has to be some level of analysis on specific cases that goes beyond just the LGR procedure and the variant TLD. So I just want to make sure, Steve, that our community as well as our board understands that doing these two doesn't automatically provide a license for all ID and variant TLDs to be delegated.
Thank you. I think that caution is extremely important. I'm very glad that you've articulated it. I have a feeling that it won't be the last time that it's necessary to articulate that. Any further comment or discussion? Thank you. Let me call the question. All of those in favor? Are there any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is action that comes to us through the Structural Improvements Committee. I want to ask Ray, who chairs the Structural Improvements Committee, to take us through this resolution and introduce it.
Thank you, Steve. By the bylaws, the board is responsible for the recognition of new GNSO constituencies. In June of 2011, the board adopted a process to fulfill that requirement, and that process includes objective eligibility criteria. It encourages collaboration, and most importantly, it puts the decision regarding the applications in the first part, or first instance, in the hands of the community groups that are in the best position to evaluate the request. The resolution that is before the board today is a part of that process. By this resolution, the board will be ratifying the decision of the NCSG to reject the application by the PIACC. This will be done without prejudice. This means that the PIACC can resubmit a new application, or it can pursue participation by other venues. Lastly, while not a part of this resolution by the board, the community should note that the new GTLD program could result in more applications for new constituencies, and these new constituencies could have an impact on ICANN processes and structures. And so I will now read the recitals in the resolution to as the proposal. Whereas the ICANN board wants to encourage participation by a broad spectrum of existing and potential community groupings in the ICANN processes and activities. Whereas the ICANN board has established a process for the recognition of new GNSO constituencies that includes objective eligibility criteria, encourages collaboration, and puts the decisions regarding applications in the first instance in the hands of the communities to be directly impacted by the potential new constituency. Whereas the Cyber Cafe Association of India submitted an application for formal recognition of a new GNSO constituency called the Public Internet Access Cyber Cafe Ecosystem within the GNSO's non-commercial stakeholder group. Whereas ICANN staff managed a 68-day comment forum for community review and reaction to the PIACC proposal. Whereas the NCSG leadership and ICANN staff engaged in collaborative consultation and dialogue with the PIACC proponents. Whereas the NCSG leadership and ICANN staff have followed the process, and the NCSG has advised the Structural Improvements Committee of the Board of its determination to deny the application because the application does not meet the criteria established by the Board. Resolved. The decision of the NCSG to deny the PIACC application is ratified with the understanding that the decision is without prejudice and consistency proponents have the right to resubmit a new application. Resolved. The President and CEO is directed to continue collaborative discussions with the PIACC proponents to further investigate and consider other options for community engagement within the ICANN community and its processes.
Thank you. We now come to your favorite part. Is there a second? Mike, thank you. Let me call for discussion, and I'll have a comment to contribute as well. Ray.
I just want to note that the conversation is continuing on right now as we speak, and so this matter just wasn't dropped waiting for the board to do something, and that it's been an active engagement with staff and the proponents.
Thank you. That's good to know. The language that's just been shared with you is a bit on the dry side. Let me try to bring a little more life into this. The role of the board in this case is to oversee the process and the content decision, the substantive decision in this matter. It's been made by the NCSG, the non-commercial stakeholder group. So what's underneath all of this? A group has attempted to put together a new constituency focused around the cyber cafes. The crux of the question is it really a non-commercial group or is it a commercial group? And that has to do with the structure of the application and the judgment. There's a little more to it, but a key part is that it's really coming from the Cyber Cafe owners, and that raises a serious question as to whether this is non-commercial or not. As Ray covered, this is an ongoing process. This particular application we pushed back on, the NCSG pushed back on, and we're here to pass judgment on that action of the NCSG. But it is not intended to discourage the applications for new constituencies, and so there is a considerable amount of empathy while we, at the same time, try to get all the parts of this lined up properly. So that's that's kind of the underlying story. That's helpful, I think, to know. Any other discussion? Let me call the question. All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. And I'll just comment that the reason why this particular action is not on the consent agenda is because some of us felt that it would be helpful to get this exposed and described rather than just passing it without discussion. But there wasn't any dissension within the group as we covered that. Thank you. We now are at the very last item. Does anybody have any other business, Bertrand?
Thank you, Steve. It's a brief comment. Although I'm not on the new GTLD committee, I desire to take the opportunity of the end of this session to give just a brief input, which is related to the remarkable amount and quality of contributions on the public forum regarding the formerly closed generics and now closed exclusive use. It's an illustration, in my view, of the value of the public comment period and the capacity of bringing the different perspectives, including of the actors who have a stake in a particular issue, around the table. One of the challenges, as we've discussed during the course of this meeting, is that public comment period are mostly parallel tracks and not really a discussion among us that may allow to bridge a little bit more the different positions. This is for another debate. It's a debate for the evolution of the working methods of the organization. That being said, there is a timeline that is present there. I'm waiting with great anticipation. I've read thoroughly, as I suppose most of the members of the board, the comments that have been posted. I'm waiting for the summary of the staff, which is an element that would be taken into account. And there is a correlation also with the suggestion that has been made following the release of the GAC advice, which, among other issues, is addressing this question of exclusive use of TLDs. So it is a significant amount of information that will have to be digested by the new GTLD committee, and I'm happy that this environment has provided a good collection of perspectives. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ray?
Yes, Steve. I just wanted to point out that we are now approaching my favorite part of the meeting, which is adjournment.
I see. Yeah, so the other was only your second favorite, right? Yeah. Bruce?
Thank you, Steve. I just wanted to raise a topic that comes down to the accountability mechanisms that we have available. The Board Governance Committee is starting to see some reconsideration requests around the new GTLD program. And I just wanted to be clear, because that term reconsideration sounds pretty good. It's like, great, you know, I didn't get the outcome I want, so I'll go and ask another committee to come up with a second opinion. But it doesn't quite work that way. So we have three mechanisms in the bylaws. We have reconsideration, we have the Independent Review Tribunal, and we have the Ombudsman. Specifically as it relates to reconsideration, the test there in the bylaws with respect to staff actions, for example, the evaluation that they may have done on application, is merely whether they followed the policy or not. It's not an actual, you know, in-depth reading the application and trying to decide whether, you know, the board thinks an application is good or bad. So it's very limited, really. The other thing is the Independent Review Tribunal. It's a sort of the highest level of process that we have, which is completely independent of ICANN. That's restricted to looking at where there's breaches of the Articles of Incorporation or the bylaws. So, again, it's quite limited into a specific area of our operation. That brings me on to the Ombudsman. The Ombudsman actually has far more capability than any of those two other methods. And the Ombudsman basically has a charter that says that they can... the primary function is to provide an independent internal evaluation of complaints that believe the staff, the board, or a constituent body has treated them unfairly. The Ombudsman serves as an advocate for fairness and shall seek to evaluate and, where possible, resolve complaints about unfair or inappropriate treatment by the staff, the board, or ICANN constituent bodies, which could also be the GAC, by the way, clarifying the issues and using conflict resolution tools. So I just encourage you to consider using the Ombudsman as you start progressing through the new GTLD process, particularly where you might feel that you're being unfairly treated.
Thank you. The underlying text there is that the ombudsman is underemployed and we're trying to increase his workload. Let me close with a personal comment. It is an extraordinary privilege to chair this board. This is a very solid, professional, experienced, and deeply committed set of people. An enormous amount of work is carried on at a level that is not directly visible, but it is fully documented. We have a committee structure of several committees, and each of those committees has a full workload and takes on a variety of quite complicated and sometimes highly technical tasks, the Audit Committee, the Finance Committee, the Risk Committee, the IANA Committee, the Board Governance Committee, the Structural Improvements Committee, the BGRC. I'm losing it at this hour. And I'm sure I forgot. Board Global Relations, thank you, Committee. Which ones have I? Compensation Committee. And the public Participation and Stakeholder Committee. Thank you. And a number of activities that are not formally structured as committees that carry equal amounts of work, ad hoc committees to structure the retreats and workshop times that we have, the Board Global Relations, Board GAC Registration. What is the R, Bill? Relationship implementation. All aimed at either getting the work done or building processes that make getting the work done better and easier. And another point that has to be made is all of this sits on top of an extraordinary structure of activity involving many, many more people than just us in the supporting organizations, in the advisory committees, all the constituencies, stakeholder groups, working groups, a huge participation. So it is a privilege to be on this board, and it is, as I said, a deep personal privilege to be able to work with all of the members on the board and have their confidence as chair. We also, of course, are in the fortunate position of having an extraordinary staff led by Fadi Shahadi, but he's built a first-class team of professionals. One of the hallmarks, both on this board and of the team that Fadi has built, is the development of depth. We are, I think, favorably now in the position that not nearly where we want to be, but getting there, of having the ability to remove or lose any one of us and still maintain pace, have people fill in, it's quite a solid operation. So with that, as I say, you all have my thanks, and this has been an extraordinarily good ICANN meeting. You've heard all the words about the numbers and the location and the involvement, and cocktails are next door, at least they should be, and I invite everybody to come on over and find out. Thank you. Thank you.